my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Our communion table in remembrance of me here. I don't know if you can read that in the printing on this communion cloth, but I've often wondered about that phrase in Luke, do this in remembrance of me. And I don't know if that has seemed strange to you or not, but to me it's often seemed strange. Why did Jesus say this, and what is the this he's talking about? And as I remember back to the tradition of Passover, they didn't have these little bits of bread like we use for communion. They had a loaf, right, a piece of unleavened bread that was flat. And they would pass it around, and people would break off of that common flat piece of bread as it was going around the table. And the cup in the same way, we didn't have, sometimes we practice communion with individual little cups, but what Jesus would have done was to pass the cup around. And it's interesting that Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. Do what? Have Passover? Later on in the chapter, just a few verses down, it says there was, and this gives some context, there was a dispute among them as to which one was going to be greatest in the kingdom. Jesus has talked about the kingdom here, the coming reign of God when the world is going to be renewed. And Jesus said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord authority over their subjects. They act as though they were benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the leader should be like one who serves. Is it not the one at the table who serves? I am among you as one who serves. It's really interesting. I think that what Jesus was pointing at here, it's stressed in Luke, and there are a lot of different ways that we can interpret the meaning of the Last Supper. In some ways, it recalls back the liberation of people out of bondage, and this makes us consider that there's a different kind of bondage, not the physical bondage of the Israelites in Egypt, but a spiritual bondage that we have to the powers and ways of violence and injustice. There's also sort of the, let me be in you, and you be in me, and we will be one, we will bear much fruit kind of idea in communion. But here, it's really interesting. Jesus is taking a piece of bread that symbolizes himself, and he's giving it to the disciples, and he's saying, do this. And the emphasis later in the chapter is, you do as I do, be as a servant, give of yourself for others. Do this, remembering the way that I gave of myself for others. I break my bread for you, you break your bread for others. And it's interesting, later on in the book of Luke, remember, there's a scene there, we call it the story from Emmaus, where Jesus is made known to them in the breaking of bread, while they're breaking bread for others. It's kind of interesting to me. One of the people that we've been studying is John Dominic Crossan, who says in his DVD series, The Challenge of Jesus, that one of the reasons the Jesus movement probably survived and the John movement didn't is because people had to follow John the Baptist out into the wilderness to achieve the kind of renewal John the Baptist was offering. You had to actually go search out John. But in the Jesus movement, you don't have to actually search out Jesus for the renewal that Jesus offers. In the Jesus movement, what Jesus is doing here is saying, this is my body, I give it to you, and my spirit is now with you. Every time you break bread, you break the loaves and fishes that you have and give it to others, that spirit is there too. So we don't have to go literally see Jesus in order to experience the renewal that Jesus offers. What Jesus is doing is breaking himself into thousands and hundred thousands of bits and spreading it around the world and saying, now you be Jesus to others. You break yourself for others. And the kingdom then flourishes because you don't have to go to one person to experience the renewal. The renewal is in all of us as we emulate Jesus in Jesus' self-giving and in Jesus' compassion. What's interesting to me is when we think this way, it really frees us of a lot of weird assumptions about what church is. Because sometimes when we have a person dressed in a little garb like this, offering communion like this, the impression could be given that there's a holy place one must come to for the dispensing of the goods, right? the holiness is dispensed from the clergy, or that the church has a lock on holiness. That's not the message of the gospel at all. The message of the gospel is that we all have the goods. The loaves and fishes are out there. All we have to do is to break them and offer them, and there are 12 baskets left over. It's really interesting to me. Jesus' spirit is there. And this is why Paul continues and says, we don't need a temple to worship in. After the destruction of the temple, this was a problem in 70 AD. We are the temple of God. You are the temple of God. There's not just one compassionate healer proclaiming shalom in one time and place, but there are hundreds and thousands of compassionate healers unleashed in the world, all connected to that same spirit, working out shalom in all times and in all places in the ways they can do it. This work is entrusted to many. The work is entrusted to you. The work is entrusted to me. And we all have various ways that we share in the work as we break our loaves and fishes open and offer them to others. And I can't do it the same way you can. And you probably can't do it the same way I can. There are some people who can do things that I can't do. Some people can't get up here and speak in front of people. It comes kind of naturally to me. But one of the things I'm not very good at is encouraging people who are hurting or sick. It's not a gift that comes naturally to me. I have to really work at that. Other people can do that easier than I can. We all have different kinds of gifts and skills, and that's what makes the church actually work. That's what makes the church actually strong. And that's why this kind of day, when what we're doing is putting up the different kinds of things that people are doing at the church and seeing what people are interested in doing, what they feel called to do, is really important. The church needs to do some specific things in order to survive and thrive in the world. We need to be inviting people in to the fellowship, gathering people in so that the message can be heard. And there's a group in this church that does that, the Outreach Committee. We need to be creating a place where people can grow in their relationships with one another and be renewed and transformed in those relationships. And we have this whole wall over here full of kind of initiatives of the church that try to do that. The worship group and the Christian education group and caregiving task forces of the church. And then the churches need to create opportunities for people to go out into the world and to live their faith with action. And so over here we have lots of different groups that are doing that. The Mission and Social Action Committee, the Freedom School, the Community Gardens, Sparta, all sorts of different things that people are doing. But the point is this. No one person can be the church. We all have to be the church for the thing to work, because we all have different gifts and talents. One of the things that I remember really clearly is when I was in Japan, I went down to this little church in the Saito Naikai, which is the Japan Inland Sea. And back in the old days, in the early 1900s, there was a gospel ship that would travel up and down the coasts and drop off things for these little mission points. And I went to one of these churches one time, and in this little building, they were still playing the old pump organ. You know the ones that you pump with your feet? They were playing, this is in the early 2000s. The thing had to have been 80 years old. And literally in this church, the pastor did everything. The pastor led the service, the pastor preached, the pastor said all the prayers, the pastor led all the Bible studies, the pastor did all the visiting. If there was any kind of interchurch cooperation, the pastor led it. The pastor cleaned the toilets. I mean, the pastor did everything. And I said to this pastor, Hayashibari Sensei was his name, don't you get tired? He says, yeah, I get tired. And I said, I would just like to come to church here one Sunday. So I did. I brought the kids from Kanto Gakuin down one Sunday, and it was the dullest church I have ever been, I have to admit, dull. And I had to think, why is this the case? And I think it's because people weren't doing what they could be doing to build the community and to spread the message that that God has entrusted to the church to spread. People's gifts were not being used. And so one person was trying to do the work of everybody, and it just wasn't working. Nothing happens. And it ends up being dull. It ends up being like theater. That's not the purpose of the church. Jesus says, I've given myself to you. Now you give yourselves to others. And you'll be amazed at the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes. I'm amazed every time I look out and see when we unleash people to do what naturally they want to do, tear apart the structures of the church that keeps people confined to doing only certain little things, and you encourage people to do what the Spirit's prompting them to do, what amazing things happen. I think about the Freedom School and how there's a certain chaos in the Freedom School, isn't there, David? You don't really know what's happening. You unleash a vision to people, and they say, oh, that's interesting. I'm going to have a little group that deals with this, and environmental stuff is interesting to me, and community development is interesting to me, and labor organization is interesting to me, and all these things almost organically pop up when we allow people to use the talents and gifts that they have. Much, much more can be created when people are engaged to do the things that God calls them to do than when we assume that the church is going to be built by just one or two or three or four people. It can't happen that way. And part of being spiritually healthy is being able not only to receive the care that we have here at church, but then also to exercise ourselves spiritually and to contribute in ways that allow us to feel the joy of saying thank you and giving in ways that are appropriate to us. That's what the church is. And so I encourage you today, we're going to have these displays up not only today, but also next week for the involvement fair. There are some people that are just not built to be part of committees. I understand that. Don't be part of a committee then. Find something that you can do at one of these tables that doesn't involve you being on a committee, but will engage you in some work that you're interested in doing and that's good for the upbuilding of this community. Or talk to some people who are doing other good work in the community and think, how can I use what's peculiar about me to attach to that and support that good work? And you'll find out that not only are other people fed through your giving, but you yourself are fed through that giving. And I'm preaching to the choir today. I know that. This is a very involved church. This is not like that church in Saito Naikai where the pastor does everything. Absolutely not. This is a church where people are very involved. And I think Lynn Robertson once said to me that she heard somebody say, oh, gee, I don't know why you would want to be a member of that church. You have to work so hard to be a member of it. So, you know, this is not a new message to you. But it's a message I want to remind you of, because it really, if the only thing church is coming and getting some spiritual nourishment and then leaving and not connecting with anybody or not using your talents, you're missing out on a whole lot of joy. Because a lot of the things that are most precious to me about church are those small groups of people I get to know when we're engaged in common action. We're giving ourselves to others. And miraculously, we get so much in return from that. Let's pray. Oh God, we thank you for this bread and cup that symbolize to us not only your extravagant giving to us, but your call for us to be broken and given to one another. Help us to be the church so that the message of shalom we share is shared with power in our age and in our day. In Jesus' name, amen.